Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All I want is you to be glorified. If I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. That's what we want to do this morning. Because that's what God wants for us to do. He wants for us to lift him up. He wants for us to lift him up. I have the opportunity most Sabbath to be out on the street and to share with the folks down there in Baltimore City, all those people coming by. You know the Avenue Market? Yeah, that's one of my favorite spots. If you want to know where I am most Sabbath evening around 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, that's where I am with a group. It's just three of us now. Brother Ashmin, join us. You know that Richard Price, who was out there with us, he died. You know, just such a sudden death. But God always have a ram in the thicket. I remember when Brother Ashmin came down with me, and the first Sabbath he listened to Richard and Terry, you know, as they sang for the Lord, and his heart was just bubbling over, and he was there singing in the background. And by the next week, he brought his music with him, and they allow him to sing two songs. You know, the funny thing is that Terry Lamore, he's in charge of the music. And you know, we don't just let anybody sing there in this ministry, you know, because we put up certain criteria that, you know. But somehow, Brother Ashmin, they allow Brother Ashmin. And when, you know, he sang in that still, small, melodious voice of his, you know, Richard said, wow, yeah. And he was doing like this. But Richard, myself, and Terry, we didn't know what was going to happen. But I know, I guess God knew, because he knows all things. And it so happened that it wasn't long that Richard was no more with us. But I'm used to preaching on the street. And I'm going to share with you the things that I share with the folks out there on the street this morning. And I have a lot to say. So I want for you to sit back. And I want for you to lift him up. I want for you to get to know about him. Because as the text say, this is life eternal, that you might know me, the true and living God. And I believe that your father and my father know the solution to our problem, and that is getting to know him. So let's get to know him this morning. Loving Father, please hide me behind the cross. Let me not be seen. Empower me by your Spirit. Speak through me, dear Lord, so that your people who love you, who you love so much, who you brought here this morning, let them see you in all of your goodness, in all of your glory, remove the veils this morning so that we can see you and fall in love with you and walk with you into life eternal. Speak to us, I beg. In Yeshua's name, speak to us. Let me start this way. Brian, there's a good friend of mine. I talk to him almost every morning. We talk together and we talk about God. And this guy, he loves God. And when you hear him talk, you know, and he said, you know, Jim, I can't wait for this thing to be over. I can't wait for Yeshua to come. And to the devil, for the devil to get what is due to him. I want him to get what is due to him for all the way that he has messed up people. I just want for God to get him. And those folks who decide that they're not going to follow God, they have the choice. They, it's not everybody's going to be saved. And they're going to get what they deserve. I listened to him. You know. And I prayed with him. And we pray every morning. But when you listen. And his passion. And what is in his heart. About the devil and about God and about people that don't want to follow God. You know, you have to just pray and ask God to help us to understand this thing. So I want to go from the beginning. So that you hear this morning that all of us can see and get a picture. You know, they say that if you don't know where you come from, if you don't know who you are, you're not going to be able to make it. You're not going to be able to make something of yourself. And that is so true. So let me start like how I start there, out there on the street. The Bible tells us in Genesis that in the beginning, God created man in his own image after his likeness. We belong to him. We are his children. But what happened is that our father was deceived. The devil used the serpent. He speak through the serpent. You see, he is a spirit. And he speak. He cannot come within our realm, you know. Can't manifest himself into our realm. And let somebody give him the authority to use them as a medium. And that's what he did. He used the serpent as a medium to deceive Eve. And then guess what, Fahelia? He used Eve to deceive Adam. And mankind fall. And now the text. Our text for the morning. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let me tell you something. We are his children. That's who we are. And if your child is sick, if your child is sick, Dr. Gomes, any one of your boys fall sick, you're not going to want to write them off or burn them up. What you're going to want to do? You're going to want to heal them from that sickness. That's what you want to do. You want to heal them from the sickness. You want to cleanse them from that disease that has taken hold of them. And yes, that's what happened. God promised us that he says there in Jeremiah 29 and verse 17, he says, ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Amen. The whole heart, I tell you. It must be yielded to God. Are the change that God wants to bring within us can never be. We cannot be restored to his likeness if we don't give to him all of our hearts. Let me tell you something this morning. By nature, we are alienated from God. The Holy Spirit describes our condition in words like these. He says, the whole heart faint. There is no soundness in it. The head is sick and the whole heart faint. There is no soundness in it. We are held fast by the snares of Satan. We have been taken captive by the heart's deceiver. We are sick, and God desires to heal us, to set us free. But this require an entire transformation, a renewing of our entire nature. That's what have to happen. We must yield ourselves to God. The warfare is against self. Self is the greatest battle that you and I will have to fight. The yielding of self, the surrendering of the will to God, it requires a struggle. But the soul, your soul, your heart, your mind must be submitted to God before it can be renewed in holiness. The government of God is not as Satan would make it appear. It is not founded upon blind submission. It is not founded on an unreasonable control. No. God wants for us to come to him intelligently. God wants our intellect. He wants our conscience. And as the Spirit of God appealed to us through the prophet Isaiah, he said, come now. He said, come now. And let us reason together. That's the invitation. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, I can make them as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, I can make you as wool. He want to clean us up. God want to fix us. But God, he does not force us. He will not force any of his creature. God cannot accept our homage if it is not willingly and intellectually given. A mere for submission I submit to you this morning would not be real. It would not cause that kind of development that God want. Anything I tell you that have to be forced, it does not come from love. God want you to give him his heart, your heart, because you love him. That's what God wants. Yes, the purpose of our Creator is that man, you and I, who are the crowning work of his hand, he wants for us to give to him our heart and our intellect freely. Yes, that's his purpose. That's his purpose. And he set before us each and every day heights of blessing which he desired to bring to us through his grace. So he invites us to give ourselves to him so that he may work his will in each and every one of us. That's why he created us. He don't create us so that we can just be here for show. God wants to work his will in and through us. Come on now, let me tell you something. Have you ever looked at what is happening? We here, we are just a little theater of the grace of God. Worlds and fallen. The angels in heaven and the unfallen world are looking down at this little planet. That is displaying the theater of God. Look, when Satan started his war in heaven and he accused God, that God wanted to force his being to submit to him. And when he was going around spreading his lies, and you know, that guy is skillful, because he do it in such a way as if he had Brother Kenneth Jones, as if he had the interests of all the other angels in mind, you know. Yeah, but he was undermining the government of God. Yeah. So, God created this world as a theater of his grace to show who he really is. So he created Adam and Eve, who could produce after him, after his likeness, creator. And then he gave them a kingdom to rule, like how he had creatures of all types and all different men that they were supposed to take care of. But sin came in. But this did not thwart the plan of God. It just make his plan more urgent. Yes. So we are theater of his grace, that the unfallen worlds are looking on, looking at this drama as it unfolds. Because let me tell you something. God operates out of a law of love. That's what he operates out of. If it is not done by love, he will not do it. What did I say? If it is not done by love, he will not do it. So John says, this is how God is going to win your allegiance, fallen man, unfallen world. This is how your Father is going to win your allegiance. Herein is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God is without measure. It is without comparison. It is infinite. And when we contemplate the dignity and the glory of Yeshua, we see how great was the love that prompted the sacrifice made upon the cross of Calvary for the redemption of a lost world. This theme will fill the saints with wonder and amazement throughout the eternal ages. And why should we not in this world meditate upon this love? Yes, we need to take time, because I submit to you that throughout the ceaseless age of eternity, as long as time lasts, as long as eternity lasts, hallelujah, eternity, it will never end. And guess what? We, Sister Gloria, we will never be able to wrap our mind around the love of God, because the more we dig into it, it's the broader, it's the wider, it's the deeper it's going to be. We can never exhaust it. Yes, God made man perfectly holy and happy. And let me tell you something, as the fear heard come out of the Creator's hand, it bore no blight or any shadow of decay. There was no curse that was up on this earth. Our Father in heaven, your God and my God, he is the source of all life and wisdom and joy. And if you want to know this, look at the wonderful things of nature. Every opening bud, every spire of the springing grass, the lovely bird that make the music in the air. Oh yes, the wonderful flowers that perfume the air with such fragrance. They came to you and me from the hands of our Creator. Look at them, spend time and smell the roses, so that you know and understand that you have a Father that loves you, that give you all of these things. the trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green. They all testify to the tender fatherly care of our God and his desire to make each and every one of us here this morning happy. That's all he wants. That's all he wants to make us. Chris, that's all he wants. He wants to make us happy. Yes. Think of the marvelous adaptation of all of these things to your happiness and to my happiness. Yes. God not only cares for man, he cares for every living creature, the sunshine, the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills, the seas, and the plants. They all speak of our Creator love. Let me tell you something. Every single day, God supplies their need. He is the one that uphold and keep everything alive. Yes, this is why the psalmist say, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou gavest them meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature. Psalm 145, 15 and 16. Yes, God loves us. God supplies the needs of all of his children, of every living creature that is around. This is why we have to understand this morning that God cares for everything. He is the one that sustains every one of his created work. He upholds the unnumbered universe. Come on. Come on. Think of it. Do you all remember when Yeshua, Brian, when Yeshua healed that man on the Sabbath, and they accuse Yeshua of working on the Sabbath? What did Yeshua say to them? Yeshua said what? My Father, don't look at John 5. He said, my Father is what? He is always working. He is always working. And you know what amazed me? Even the guy that is out there, that is doing all of these evil, that is hurting and injuring people, the life that is in him is the life of God. God sustain him and God keep. But if God was like my good friend, you know, if God was like my good friend that I pray with every morning, God would have taken the life away from me. But God is not like that. He wants for us to come to him through love. He is hoping that one day, he said, look, I don't take any. What he said through the prophet Ezekiel, I have no what? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but what him should do? That the wicked should turn from his evil way and live. God is giving you and you and you and me a chance to turn and live. He wants for us to just take the time and see how much he loves us. He doesn't want to destroy us. No, he wants for us to live. If we would but fully believe this, all our anxiety, Sister Carter Jones, would be dismissed. Our lives would not be so filled with disappointment. For everything, whether great or small, would be left in the hand of God. Yes, God is not perplexed by the multiplicity of our care. He is not, or is he not overwhelmed by the weight of our problem? Oh, if we understand this, we'll enjoy the rest that he offered to us this morning. We would come to him so that our soul can find rest in him. The less we seem to esteem ourselves, the more we shall seem to esteem it of the infinite purity and loveliness of our Savior. What they say in the song this morning, lift him up, lift him up, esteem him, lift him up, and he will use you and me to draw men unto him. The more we sense our need, is the more we go to him. Oh, the servant of the Lord, you know what she said? She said, is your need and my need. Make us worthy to go before God. Paul put it this way. Paul said, you must come boldly. Boldly before the throne of grace. You don't have to be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of him. Come boldly before him. Yes. He wants to help you. He wants to lift you up. Because he understand the dilemma that you find yourself in. It was the transgression of the law of love. And I want for you to understand this morning. You know? Because as I move around our circle, and as I listen to Christians, Brian, they don't understand this thing. They look at the law as 10 duties that they have to perform. And that's where their thinking is. Just like the men of Yeshua time, the scribes and the Pharisees that was teaching this thing. And that's why they went in and they tried to fix this, to give, and they had more and more burden unto it because they did not see it, Dr. Gomes, for what it is. That these 10 precepts, they were not just rules to obey, that God give you rules to obey. No. They are principles of love. You see, the Ten Commandments is just an excerpt from the law of love that governs the universe that God lived by. You know, like the law of gravity, like the law that life worked by. You know that you breathe out what? Oxygen. And the tree do what? The tree breathe in the oxygen. The tree breathe out what? CO2. And how it work
the water that is there in the ocean, as the sun warm it, it give off water vapor, and it go up in the sky and in the clouds, and then it come down as what? As rain that water and gladden the earth. So everything is giving, and everything is receiving, and everything is sharing. That circle of life, Ezekiel described it as a what? Wheel within a wheel. That's how God worked. God is always giving, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, if you cast, come on now, if you cast your bread upon the water, what going to happen? It going to return to you many days. That's the law of love. That's the law that governs the universe. That's the law that the unfallen world live by. It is the law of love. So what happened? When Israel was in slavery, they forget this. They didn't know how to love. They were beaten down. They were trampled. So what? So when God pulled them out of the bondage of slavery, he had to take his time to bring them in. So he decided on that, you know what? Let me teach these people. Let me teach them how to love. So he break down this law of love into its simplest form. He never have to write it down for the angel. He never have to write it down for the unfallen world. He never have to write it down for any of the other people, because they always live by. They didn't even, just like how you didn't know before Newton said there was a law of gravity. Nobody, it was always something fall. It would fall down. The law of love was all, because this is all what? This is all God operate. He is always giving, and everything is always giving. That's all it worked. It is design law. So he just break it down so that they can understand. So there are 10 principles that he said, look, when you give yourself to me, I am going to do what? I'm going to write them. I'm going to do what? I'm going to write them on your heart. I'm going to put them back in your mind. They are going to be a part of you. So you're not going to be out of harmony. You're going to be so filled with love. Yes. You're going to be so filled with love, Brian, and you're not even going to know that you're doing it, because it is going to be a part of you. So God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yeshua is the remedy. He is the remedy for this sinful world. So, what did God do? After he gave them these principles to live by, he just wanted them to start adjusting to this awesome thing that he was going to spring on them. This transformation. But you know, you can't just shock people. You know, has this ever happened to any of you? You come out of the sunlight, the bright sunlight, and as you come inside, you can't see anything. Eh?
So you have to give your time, your eyes time to adjust. So God had to give them time to adjust to this awesome thing that he wanted. So he gave them the commandment. Then what he did, he gave them the sanctuary. And this is a big mistake that they make and a lot of us make. Because the sanctuary and its service was just prop. They were just prop. They were just teaching tools to teach the children of Israel and to teach us about Yeshua who is to come. That's all. Look at it. Almost everything in the sanctuary, sir, who it points to? It points to Yeshua. But guess what? Guess what? They got so engrossed in this thing that they allowed the enemy to mess them up. So the blood and the sacrifice that represent Yeshua, that he was going to come and they were going to kill him. They were going to kill him. Remember? You remember when he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that have this vineyard. And when he sent his servant, what did those workers do to his servant? Huh? Come on, Bible students. What did they do to the servants? They killed them. They killed the prophets. They killed the prophets. And when Yeshua said, when they saw the heir, when they saw the son, what did they say? They say, see the son there. Let us kill him so that we can get his inheritance. He was prophesying of his death. He was telling them what they were going to do. But what we do when we read those things this morning? Eh? When we read in Isaiah, he was bruised for our transgression. He was wounded for our iniquity. Isaiah 53, go back and read it. We perceive that it is saying that this is what God is going to do to Yeshua. So we look at it as God chastising Yeshua, as God killing Yeshua, as God have some problem, so that you have to offer to him a sacrifice of blood to save man. No. Remember what he said to them? He said, I am tired. Go read Isaiah again. Spend some time. He said, I am tired of your sacrifice, your meaningless sacrifice that you bring before me. This is the kind of fast that I have chosen, that you may do what? You may give your bread to the what? Those who are hungry. You may take care of the fatherless and the widows. Yes. That's what God wants for us. That is what? That is love. That's what God wants for us. But they miss the whole thing, Brother Jones. They miss it. And they do the exact thing that Satan wants, to present God to the world as a harsh, exacting God, that all he's doing is waiting for you to slip up so that he can bring down judgment upon you and burn you up. Let me ask you a question this day. God is life. You remember when Moses was in God's presence? when Moses go up there for 40 days, did Moses have to eat anything? And when Moses come back down, he was fit, he was nourished, because he was in the presence of God. So the life of God flow inside. Do you understand this thing? When you're in the presence of God, this is what I'm doing. You live. God is life. He give you life. God don't have to kill anybody. That's why what the text say, this is life eternal, that you might know me. So if eternal life is knowing God, eternal death is not knowing God. That's why Yeshua say, what did Yeshua say? Yeshua said, depart from me. Come on, when he divided the sheep and goats, he said, depart from me, for I never what? Know you. So God, we have to take the time to know God and to know how much he loves. Yeah. So, in the presence of God, there is life. And this is the life that he wants to share. Paul tell us, Paul say, you must be what? Partaker of his what? His divine nature. He is willing. God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. And he wants to bring us back to that place. But the devil wants for us to see God in a bad light. And the most effective tool that the devil used to do this is people who say that they are Christian. He did it with the Jewish leader during Christ's time. Those Sabbath keepers, those vegetarians. They were the one that plot and crucify him, because their heart was not sanctified by the truth. They did not spend the time to know God. As Isaiah said, he came unto his own, and they never know him. They never know him. Will the same thing be said of us today? Friends, let's take time to know God. God wants to give to you and me his mind. God don't want for us to follow him blindly. This is why he's appealing to our intellect and to our conscience today. He says, come now. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, I can make them as wool. From the book, Great Controversy, page 591, the servant of the Lord says, God never forced the will or the conscience, but Satan constant resort to this, to gain control of those who he cannot otherwise seduce. What he do, he use compulsion, he use cruelty, yes, through fear or force, he endeavor to rule the conscience, that is Satan, yes, and to secure homage to himself. To accomplish this, he works through both religious and secular authority, moving them to enforce human laws in defiance to the law of God. Yes. So anybody that you hear talking about that they must pass laws to restrict homosexuality and to restrict this. No. Don't agree with them. God don't use force. God don't use government to legislate his law. It's only Rome do this. And when you join that bandwagon, you are joining Rome. God wants for you to give him your heart freely. God wants for you to come to him because you love him. Yes. God wants for you to see Yeshua. And let the beauty of Yeshua draw you to him. How does Paul put it in Romans? Paul says, is what? It is the goodness of God that what? Lead to repentance. It is the goodness of God that win your loyalty. Yes. Look at the ministry of Yeshua when Yeshua came to this world. Look at what he did. Yes, when he met that dead train of the widow, when she was crying because she lost her livelihood, Sister Lee. Her husband died, that's why she's a widow. And now her son died. So she have nobody to depend on. And as she was weeping, and as Yeshua with his entourage met this funeral train, what did he do? Dr. Gomes, he touched the casket because the Bible says he was what? Moved with compassion. And he rose. He brought that young man back to life. Yes. When he met Jairus' daughter, again his heart was moved with compassion. And he told that little girl to wake up. That's what our God does. He's a God of life. Yes. And the disease of sickness and death over that young girl was gone. Yes, when he met the blind man. And the blind man, they said, have mercy upon us, son of David. Have mercy upon us. He put his hand over their eyes. And the blindness of disease, the darkness that lies and sin brought over them for many years was gone. Oh yes, when the 5,000 and the 7,000 came to hear him because they were hungry and they were under oppression, he took 5 loaves of fish. Yes, he took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and he prayed to his Father in heaven, and he had enough to feed an entire congregation of people. Mercy. What love! What love! He's not a God of debt. He's not a hungry God. He wants to heal and deliver us. When the pangs of debt held on to Lazarus for 3 days and his body stinks. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, I wish you would understand this thing. He spoke through debt. He spoke through what? Debt. And he called forth Lazarus. And Lazarus came forth from the tomb. He's a God of love. He's not a God of debt. He's not a harsh, exacting creator. All God wants to do is to deliver you and me today. I want for you to picture him this morning. You picture him upon the cross of Calvary. You picture him hanging there with a crown of thorn upon his head. blood dripping down his brow. And as he hung there, one thief to his right and another criminal to his left. And he hung there between earth and heaven, and the crowd mocking and saying, "You save others, save yourself." They mocked him and they jeered him and they laughed at him. They were having fun at his expense. And as he hung there, the songwriter said, he could have called, Sister Roy, he could have called 10,000 it. All he had to do was just think them out of. He didn't even have to open his mouth. Brother Jones, all he had to do was just have the thought inside of his mind. And they would be no more. Sister Gloria O'Neill, all he had to do was just think of them as gone. And they would not be, because he was God. That's how powerful and awesome he was. But what did God say? He looked up on them and he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what we are trying to do." And he said, "Before I kill them, I'd rather they kill me." What love. What love. Give your heart to him this morning.